For all of those of you who have not been here in a while, or this is your first time, I find it interesting that today is the day that you come. As I said, no pressure. Let's see. Okay. Got the title slide. That's a good thing. First thing I want to talk about is sort of the framework that I'm coming from with all of this. The question, I've got a question for you. When you read the Bible, yep, it's too small. Sorry, my bad. How do you read it? Do you read it to get reinforcement for what you already believe, your preconceptions? If you do, you are making God in your own image. Or, alternatively, do you read to understand God's heart and his ways of thinking and acting so that you can become like him? If you do, then you are looking to change in order to take on the qualities that God values. So, are you willing to be challenged? That's the question for you this morning. As I was preparing for this, the thing that I want out of this comes out of 1 John chapter 2, starting in verse 2, going through around 14, I believe. In there, it talks about dear children, young men, and old men. And what I want to get out of this is to get you from one level to the next level. If we don't get you from one level to the next level, at least you'll be better prepared to go from being a little child, to a young man or a young woman in God. Or to go from being a young man or woman in God to being an old man, old woman in God. If you go to Malachi chapter 3, it's a popular verse or a section on tithing. But when I read it, I was struck. If you go to the beginning of the chapter, if you flip over there, this is completely rearranging my notes, and so you'll bear with me for just a moment. We are going to get to this a lot later. Okay. What this chapter is about is your spiritual connection with God. That's really what that whole chapter is about. It says, "See, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant who you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty. But who can endure the day of his coming? Who's going to be able to stand?" That's something to think about. "Who can stand when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire or a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver. Then the Lord will have men who will bring offerings in righteousness." Not those like Jesus was talking to, the scribes and the Pharisees, who he didn't have much good to say about in the New Testament. And the offerings of Judah and Jerusalem will be acceptable to the Lord as in days gone by, as in former years. So I will come near you for judgment. I will be quick to testify against sorcerers, adulterers, and perjurers, against those who defraud laborers of their wages, who oppress the widows and the fatherless. Hold on to that thought because it comes into play later on. And deprive aliens of justice. But do not fear me, says the Lord Almighty. I, the Lord, do not change. So you, O descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Ever since the time of your forefathers, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me. This is the key section. And I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, why? How do we rob you? In tithes and offerings, you are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty. See if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room for it. God tithes your spiritual state to how you treat people and how you give. Okay. Now, there's a promise in this. That if you do that, if you return to the Lord, there will be blessing. And that is throughout Scripture. So, Matthew 6, 33. I'll go to verse 31 first. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? Verse 33, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Okay? So, I'm going to start out by telling you a couple of stories. A few more than originally planned. Years ago, Jane was praying for a husband. She was young at the time. Let me see, do I get it later? She robbed the cradle, not me. Okay. Oh, dear. Anyway, before we even met, I was still in college, hadn't even, and a minister came down, I think, from Tyatin. He was an accountant, but he was also a minister. He brought his wife, and Jane recognized her skills in financial areas were not that great. And so she asked the lady, the wife, you know, I want to pray for a husband. How should I pray? Should I pray for an accountant to help me with all my finances? And the lady said, no. No, you don't need to pray for an accountant. You just need to pray for a number cruncher.
I got one.
And she got one. A few years later, I managed to make it down here to the Tri-Cities, and there was a joined the church that Jane was going to at the time, and we still didn't have much connection I probably didn't even know who she was. And for some reason, God put it on her heart to pray for her to pray for me to have the best wife that I could have. And I got it. God answered her prayer. She didn't know that she was praying for herself. But God knew. She had somebody else in mind, actually, for me. And ever since then, we have walked with the same gait, with the same step. That's part of our prophetic word. I'm 6'2", she's 5'2". Think about that for a minute. But you will find later as I talk that we have walked with the same step. Okay. Second story. This was a sermon, part of a sermon that a pastor gave years ago. He was talking about his, when he took his kid out for, you know, father-son time, and they had, they went and got some French fries. Kids over there munching. He was short, small kid at the time. He wasn't that old. And he had his French fries, was going after it, and his dad asks, "Can I have one of those French fries?" "No. They're mine." Now, the kid didn't understand that dad bought the fries. And, oh, by the way, he could have just gone and got more if the kid, you know, gave dad one and scarfed the rest of them. Okay? It would have been okay. So that's our view sometimes. So what's God's view in all of this? There you go. There. Psalm 24, verse 1. "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness therein, the world and all who live in it, for he founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters." Guess what? 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. "You are not your own. You were bought at a price." Doesn't say it just once. It says it again in 1 Corinthians, just a little bit later in that same book. 1 Corinthians 7:23, "You were bought with a price," or at a price. "Do not become slaves of men." Okay, so that's God's view. What's been the journey that Jane and I have been on, even before we got married? I'll start. When I was much shorter and still had hair, I was an altar boy at the Episcopal Church here in town, All Saints. I was good Episcopalian kid. And I was pretty oblivious about offerings. All I knew was that I had this shiny little plate that I would go up when the offering was being taken, and when the ushers would come forward, I would hold it out, they would put the stuff into the baskets, into the plate, and I would take it up to the priest. It's clueless. Okay. Then I went to college. Felt the need to have a closer relationship with the Lord, at which point I got saved and started going to a fellowship up there that was pastored by a dentist. This is all nonlinear. I mean, you don't make these things up. So I got some teaching about tithing, and being the obedient sort that I was, all of my, out of what I earned being a dishwasher at the Rotunda Dining Hall run by Miss Meyer up in Pullman, I gave a tenth. It wasn't much, but I gave what, according to what I was taught. So I was being obedient. So that gets us to, okay, the law. The law is our schoolmaster. It sort of gives us some information to go with. So we go to Leviticus 27, verses 30 through 33. Starting in 30, it says, a tithe of everything from the land. And then verse 32, the entire tithe of the herd and the flock, every tenth animal that passes under the rod, will be holy to the Lord. Numbers 18, verses 8 through 32. Just focusing on verse 21, I give to the Levites all the tithes in Israel as their inheritance in return for the work they do while serving at the tent of meeting. Key thought, keep that in mind as we go along. Deuteronomy 12, verses 6 and 7. Talking about where they're going to bring the tithes. Okay, your tithes and special gifts, what you have vowed to give, and your free will offerings, and the firstborn of your herds and flocks, you bring them to the Lord. Deuteronomy 26, verses 1 through 15. I'm going to focus on verses 11 and 12. You and the Levites, this is talking about a time of rejoicing. You and the Levites and the aliens among you shall rejoice in all the good things the Lord your God has given to you and your household. When you have finished setting aside a tenth of all your produce in the third year, the year of the tithe, you shall give it to the Levite, the alien, the fatherless, and the widow. Remember back in Malachi 3, it talked about the fatherless and the widows that were being robbed. This ties in. So that they may eat in your towns and be satisfied. Okay. The keys in this are that tithes. What are tithes for? They are so that those that minister before the Lord will have sustenance. God has a way of providing. Then there are special gifts. There are the payments of vows. We would call them pledges. And then there are free will offerings that you can give. Now, just a little sidebar. Tithes predate the law. If you go to the beginning of Genesis, you have Abel and Cain bringing offerings to the Lord. Abel's offering was accepted, Cain's was not. Cain must have had dad issues or something, and he killed Abel. Okay? Who knows? Psychology over how many millennia? Yeah, we can figure that out. Anyway, I digress. So offerings were given. But if you go to, and we'll get to it later, Abraham comes back from battle. and gives a tenth to Melchizedek, a priest of the Lord. Okay. So, the tithe predates the law. So, as we go into the New Testament, we'll tie that in. Okay, so the purpose. You have the what the tithes and giving are all about. What's the purpose of the tithes? It's for priests, the poor, and a party. It's right up there. I didn't highlight it, but that's what it says. For the priests and Levites, sustenance and care. For the poor, the fatherless, the widows, and the aliens. The party, to rejoice over God's provision. It's what we just read. Now, it's interesting that in Malachi 3, there is a sense of a debt. If just the way it reads in there, it feels kind of like a debt. Why have you robbed me? There's something that is owed. So that's another aspect of giving, but that's an Old Testament aspect. We'll get into that a little bit more. So how, having gone through the sort of the Old Testament learning process, how did Jane and I do? We have both been tithing since early in our Christian walk. We have done additional giving. There's a recognition that others have needs and that we could help alleviate. The position that we're in, we have surplus, so we're able to help out. That can go for either church benevolence or outside relief or even special projects. We have also made commitments or pledges, vows in the Old Testament. The thing that we have learned out of that is the honoring of commitments, even when it hurts. There have been times when we would make a pledge or a vow, or not a vow, but a, you know, a commitment to give a certain amount. Initially, it was with joy. Many times sometimes we finished it with joy. Other times, it wasn't quite as joyful towards the end. The process. But God has something to say about that. Isn't that nice? Gives you a warm, fuzzy feeling, doesn't it? Psalm 15, verse 4. I like reading verse 1. Lord, who may dwell in your sanctuary? Who may live on your holy hill? Who wants to live in the Lord's sanctuary? Who wants to live on his holy hill? Okay. He whose walk is blameless and does what is righteous, who speaks the truth from his heart and has no slander on his tongue, who does his neighbor no wrong and casts no slur on his fellow man, who despises a vile man but honors those who fear the Lord, who keeps his oath even when it hurts. New Testament, Matthew chapter 5. We'll just go the whole section on that. Will be 5:33 through 37, but I'm going to focus on 37. Simply let your yes be yes and your let your no be no. Okay, if you say you're going to do it, do it. If you're not going to do it, don't do it. Okay? So, that's kind of what we have learned from that portion. So what are the mechanics? Oh, there we go. Thank you, ma'am. You're doing a good job. We give off the top, gross income. Okay? 10%. Now, others may disagree with that. There are some who will tithe on the net income. That's after taxes. There's some things that go along with that. If you get a refund, what are you going to do with the refund? You might want to give out of that, but that's another story. And that's between you and God. So, that's the mechanics of the tithe. I want to throw in a challenge for some of you who are brave. This is one that we looked at years ago. Heard about a gentleman by the name of R.G. Letourneau. He was a heavy equipment manufacturer, and he supplied the equipment for a lot of the heavy equipment used in World War II, as well as the building boom of the 1950s and 60s. He set a certain amount for himself to live on. At that point, at the end of his life, and he worked up to this incrementally, he gave 90% to the church, 10% he kept to himself. Okay? I think he understood God's heart in it all. It's not in Matthew 6, verse 32, it says that the pagans chase after, what shall I wear? What am I going to go eat? Okay. What's God's view on what we should wear? How big a car we should drive? Hummer. No. Mine is a Jag. That one's the... Okay, neither here nor there. They look nice and they run terrible. Anyway. So, we transition out of the Old Testament to the New Testament. So what does the New Testament say about giving? Well, the purposes of giving in the New Testament are amazingly very similar to the purposes given in the Old Testament. I'm going to give you, first of all, Deuteronomy 25, verse 4. And it says, "Do not muzzle an ox while it is treading out the grain." Strange scripture. 1 Corinthians 9. Verse 9, "For it is written in the law of Moses, do not muzzle an ox while it is trading out the grain." Is this about ox that God is concerned? No. Surely he says this for us, doesn't he? "This was written for us because when the plowman plows and the thresher threshes," they give you these tongue twisters, "they ought to do so in the hope of sharing in the harvest. If we have sown spiritual seed among you, is it too much if we reap a material harvest from you?" Okay? You take care of the ones who serve at the altar. Galatians 6, verse 6, "Anyone who receives instruction in the word must share all the good things with his instructor." Philippians 4, 14 through 19, okay, verses starting in verse 16, For when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid again and again when I was in need. Not that I was looking for a gift, but I'm looking for what may be credited to your account. I simply received full payment and even more. 1 Timothy 5, 17 through 19. The elders who direct the affairs of the church well are worthy of double honor. Underline honor there. Especially those who work in preaching and teaching. Amazingly, he pulls out Deuteronomy again. For the scripture says, do not muzzle the ox while it is treading out the grain, and the worker deserves his wages. Then there is also the provision for need. If you look in 2 Corinthians 8, 13 and 14, it talks about there's going to be times when this group is in need and they're supplied by this group, and it flips back that this group supplies the need for this group. So that's all well and good. So what does this mean? Go to Matthew chapter 5 for a moment. We had in the Old Testament the law. Everything was written down and sort of lined out. This is what you do and how you do it, and sprinkling blood and all that good stuff. Matthew 5, you look at verses 21, 27, 31, 33, 38, and 43. It says, you have heard that it was said to people long ago, but I tell you that. In each one of those scriptures, that's essentially what is being said. The bottom line, it is now explicitly about the heart and not outward actions. That's what God's getting at. You're giving the act of putting money into a basket or writing a check doesn't mean anything. It's what's in your heart. 2 Corinthians 9. This actually was rather liberating for Jane and myself. 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 through 11. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give. That's verse 7. Suggest that you underline that with respect to what we're talking about today. Give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Right? Smile. Smile when you give. Scary. Okay, Mark, I'm going to give you some examples. Mark 12, the widow's mite. She put in very small copper coins worth a fraction of a penny. But Jesus said that she put in more than all the others who were putting bags of money in. It doesn't matter how much. It matters what's in the heart. She gave out of her poverty and put in everything, all she had to give. Mary Magdalene, John chapter 12, verses 2 through 8. She took, Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. It says later that it was worth about a year's wages. Okay, calculate that with inflation. That's a lot. that's going down to Christian Dior or somebody like that and getting some perfume to do that, right? She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you. You will not always have me." Judas didn't get it. Sometimes we don't either. Be careful how you judge. Then the fun couple, Ananias and Sapphira. They didn't get it either. How is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? That wasn't the problem, that they kept the money for the land. Didn't the money belong to you before the land was sold? Or didn't the land belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? It's what they did. They agreed to tell, "We sold it for this much," when in reality they sold it for this much so that they could keep this much. And it cost them their lives. Okay. Last week, Pastor Steve preached about an interesting concept, boundaries. Yeah, we're out of order there. That's okay. And that's my fault because I put it together this morning again after I... Anyway, neither here nor there. It's an appropriate place to talk about boundaries because Ananias and Sapphira felt pressure. Don't know what it was, but for whatever reason, they chose to lie to the Holy Spirit. When you set boundaries, if you can say no freely, that is, without compulsion, you're not feeling pressure to say no, or without peer pressure, then you're going to be able to say yes freely, without compulsion and without peer pressure. Okay? That's what we're looking for. This is part of the growth process for you, is to be able to say yes and have it come freely from the heart. Just to give you an example of how Jane and I have done things over the years, we've been in churches that have had times of giving, special giving and the such like. And the way we go about that, when the call comes, a request comes for special giving or pledges, is that we both pray individually and ask the Lord for a dollar figure. And then we come together and talk about it. What's the number that you heard? What's the number that you heard? A lot of times, we hear the same number. You know what that does for you? Cool. Okay, we heard from God. And we have peace about it. Okay, and so we can freely give. There have been times when we have said, okay, what get? We get different numbers. So what do you do with it then? You talk about it. What we've found is generally the reason there's a disconnect between the two numbers is that there's an issue. Don't know, you know, there have been a variety of ones over time. But once we got those issues resolved, we were able to come to an agreement on a number. And again, what we had was peace. So, have given you some mechanics. There are promises. You've got Malachi 3, verse 10, you know, bring the whole tithes into the storehouse. Hebrews 6, verse 10, God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you've shown as you've helped his people and continue to help them. Proverbs 3, 9 through 10. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled with overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine. And there's another one that I obviously didn't print out, but it's 2 Corinthians, I believe. Is it 6, 9, and 10? Don't have that, but basically, give and it shall be given unto you. Okay? Jesus said the same thing. Give and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, running out all over. So, there's another level. Relationship. There is honoring the one that you are giving to. We've said, mentioned several scriptures about how we honor the Lord with our giving. So, just briefly going to tell you that we have been blessed over time. We have given. God has taken care of us. We periodically we look back at how long our appliances and vehicles have held together, and it's well past the normal life expectancy of all of those. It just so happened that a few of them this past year all fell apart at the same time. Shortly after I was unemployed. So there are periods, times and seasons where there are challenges. And you don't see the overflowing abundance that is promised there. But God is faithful still in the midst of all of that. Psalm 24, verse 1, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, those that dwell in it. He watches out over us. As we have been faithful in giving, he has been faithful to watch over us. I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging for bread. That is something that you can rely on. So, we are in a season where we are going to be talking about special giving, and Cody and Steve can come up at this point. But remember, it is giving from your heart. Don't be shy, come forward. The whole way up, walking forward.
You stole my notes.
Sorry.
No,
No, actually, I stole some of his, I guess. I can probably skip my whole first page, but I do want to say that when George was talking about how he and Jane, you know, pray and then come together, Jim and I used to do that too. Only when we first got married, the entire time we were married, I always did all the bills, so I knew what the finances were. Jim, if you knew him, had a huge heart and would give, you know, everything. So when I'd say, what number did you get? And he'd say, I got this. It was always double what I got. So I kind of got a little frustrated, and then I said, Lord, I want Jim's heart. And so I just started being obedient in that if I said 25 and he said 50, we did 50. And God honored that. So, you know, if you don't have quite as smooth, you know, having the same numbers, figure out a way within your own heart on how to do that. Anyway, what I want to share with you is the numbers. And I'll try really, really hard not to bore you. But because I do all the bookkeeping, I know all the numbers. Anyway, we as a church, we tithe off of all the general fund that you guys give. Okay? I know that that might surprise you. But this year we've decided that 5% of that's going to go to missions. And the other 5% is going to go to benevolence, and we're going to send a portion of benevolence to support the Tri-Cities Pregnancy Center, which is an awesome thing. Last year, we sent an extra $6,000 to support missions in India. That was above and beyond, and that came out of our tithe part, okay? The thing that we do pay out of the general fund is our utility bills. $30,000 is what we paid last year. So when you guys see a door open, please close it. our mortgage payments were $50,000. That's a lot of money just in turning on the lights and opening the door. Pastoral salary, which is small, and the rest of us are all volunteers. Any and all ministry departments, anything you need, so like the crayons that your kids color with in children's church, and the bulletin that you see every week, that all comes out, that all comes out of that. Steve's already talked to you a little bit about wanting a children's director, so that would also be a salary, and so that would have to come out of the general fund. We have what's called a restricted fund, and I know I'm boring some of you already, but hang in there. Missions and building fund are both, if you write that's what you want that to go on your check, that's the only thing that can be used for. So you don't have to worry that we're going to slip slide it around and do something else. Because if you say, I want $10 to go to building fund, we're buying $10 worth of building fund. Since our church is older and it's pretty large, it requires a lot of maintenance. Last year, the HVAC cost $5,600 just to fix every time we had an issue. And we still have a lot more things to fix. So we've got some short-term goals. It is the HVAC that needs attention. And how many of you have been in the bathrooms upstairs? Okay, then you all know we need to do the floors. And remember, your kids use those bathrooms every week. That's going to take, to do those two things, about $15,000 extra. Yeah. But we serve a mighty God. He meets every need. Our long-term goals, we need desperately to re-roof the building. Every time it rains, We as elders pray. We need to redo the asphalt in the parking lot, and we need to redo some landscaping. All of that's going to cost about $100,000. So we need an adequate building fund so that we can take care of some of these things. We are so blessed to have these pastors who have agreed to pay for, and not only are they going to pay for it, they're going to help us prep and paint our building. That's unheard of. That is absolutely unheard of. That's the hand of God. And last but certainly not least, we would love to pay off the building. And those of you who are circle makers, I know you're praying and we're believing. But that's going to take $550,000. If we had the building paid off, think what we could do with that money to meet the needs of the neighborhood. The scary thing is that in America, 20% of the people who call themselves born again, every Sunday going to church, constant believers, only 20% tithe. Yeah, that's sad. But I want you to know, you guys are not like that. Our number is 58% of you tithe on a consistent basis. And not only that, you also give above that. So, you know, we are so blessed. But I want to encourage, maybe I want to say invite, the other 42% of you who either just didn't know, don't get it, or are afraid to tithe, to meet God right where he's at. I mean, he'll meet you right where you're at. He says, if you trust him. And the tithe is not a bill. It is not a bill you pay. It's an acknowledgement that you owe everything, including the air you breathe, to the Lord. It's simply an acknowledgement. And what I just know personally, if I write my tithe, and I learned this a long time ago, if you write your tithe check first, somehow you make it to the end of the month. If I bought groceries and paid the mortgage first and then wrote the tithe check, not always did it make it. Now, it's the same amount of money. I don't get it, but I know it works. So I just want to encourage you. He already gave you all the scriptures that I have in my notes. I'm not going to say them again. But, you know, God does say, test me. Prove me. And I want you to know there are more scriptures in the Bible about money than any other thing. Do a word study. I think you'd be shocked. So, I want to just say, if you remember that the story of the little child who had, you know, the fish in the basket of bread, he didn't have very much, but he took it to Jesus. Jesus received it, and then he multiplied it, and I'm sorry, then he blessed it, and then he multiplied it, and they had abundance left over, not one basket, many baskets left over, and that's plural. So I would tell you, if you can't do 10%, bring a dollar. I'm serious. Bring anything with you on Sunday morning to worship the Lord with your giving. With a heart that's full of gratitude, thanksgiving, and joy for what you do have, and watch him meet you right where you're at. So, if you take this faith journey that Steve and the rest of your elders are asking you to do your part. We'll do, and we're doing our part. Help us accomplish the financial goals that God has laid out to Steve, because he's got a direction, and we're just got to get in line behind him and go there. Let's just trust God for everything we need and everything we've got. It's yours.
We have really good elders here, don't we? Yeah. I wrote this out, I don't know, a couple or 3 weeks ago, and I just want to ask, just humbly ask each of you to take it home with you today and pray over it during the week and ask the Lord to show you what he'd have you do. And next Sunday we'll collect these, and we'll probably make more copies because people forget, but tuck them in your Bible and bring them back. I wrote, as a Christian community of believers, we've decided that God wants to increase our ability to be fruitful in our efforts to expand his kingdom. We have embarked on a journey together to see him bless us as we seek to expand his kingdom and to become more fruitful. We recognize that God wants to bless us while taking care of the needs of his church. With these things in mind, we are choosing to step out in faith and to pray for the impossible while sowing into the vision, believing God will multiply our efforts. Below is a list of possible responses to what God is doing in our midst. Please prayerfully consider what faith step or steps he's nudging you to take as we join together in unity to position ourselves for blessing and an increase in fruitfulness. So here's what I'm asking. I'm asking that you take it home, you pray over this, and you just ask the Lord what he would have you do. The first one is, if you haven't been giving regularly to a church or you haven't ever done that before, this is like the entry-level thing. Like Cody said, if it's a buck, it's a buck. Great. Ask the Lord what it is, and then just teach yourself to faithfully give that way. I've had people recently come and confess to me that they haven't been tithing. I don't know who gives what in the church. I chose to be like that when I was 19 years old, and I was in my first youth pastor's job. Because I don't want to treat anybody different than anybody else in the church. I just want to shepherd everybody and love everybody and not worry about what's that whole portion. These guys take care of the finances. I don't. But I need to take better care of them by doing what we're doing right now, because Cody's written checks and went, ooh, we have $100-something left in the general fund. And that should never be. That should never be in our church. If we had 100% tithing, we would never even have a Sunday like this. We just wouldn't, you know, we'd be expanding our ministry and things. So if everyone will at least do step one, that would be great. Step two is one I would prefer you do, because I know the blessing that comes with it. And it just basically says, I pledge to begin to tithe in faith, knowing that God will bless me and cover me. I haven't been doing that consistently recently, so my tithe amount is this. You sign your name to it and just give it every month. Like Cody says, you'll get what you need. Your needs will be taken care of. I have a friend years ago, he heard a sermon on tithing somewhere, and he had never done it, and he had a very good job, and he thought he was really doing good to put $5 in the plate when it went by each Sunday. And so he told me, he was real convicted by that tithing sermon, so he decided to give $100 a month to the church. You know, this was like, maybe 1/8 of what he should have been given based on tithe. And you know what? He's still a friend, and I just don't see him as much as I used to. But he's got one fantastic house now. He decided one day he was going to go ahead and tithe. And this is several years ago. He's got the most fantastic house, most fantastic vehicles, amazing vacations every year to exotic places. Anyway, it was hilarious because he's like, he's white knuckling for $5, and then he was white knuckling for $100. And then once he started tithing, everything just kind of came together. And so he and his wife are both abundantly employed at this point. She didn't have a job back then, which is amazing. Here's a third one. We did this back when Bethel was building their new building. This is their old building. And we decided to give 100% of any windfall that we got. Well, about then, Pam's grandma decides to, what happened is our roof on our house caught on fire. And we ended up doing some of the work inside, and the guy who was the contractor messed up, and there was extra money, and we ended up getting it. The insurance company was cool with it. So we ended up, out of our house fire, giving $1,500 to the building fund beyond what we had already given. It was windfall, $1,500. And then we kept getting these little checks in the mail from insurance companies or, you know, whatever, that things we'd overpaid, and it was crazy. And so if you like to just see what God does, check the windfall thing. You can give whatever percent you want. We get 100. We did 100, and we didn't regret it. I don't think any of us is ever going to, we're going to get to heaven and go, I just gave way too much. I am so bummed, you know. How many of you, just be honest, how many of you doing this and deciding as a church to take a faith stretch at this time is a little inconvenient besides me? Okay, this feels really inconvenient for me. I need a barn for my dog business. And I'm like, God, I don't want to give any more money this year. Pam and I are very faithful givers, just in case you're wondering. Are we in the top 5 for givers for the church?
Yes.
Okay, that's all I want to say about that. We have way more than we should, and God just has done crazy stuff, you know, over the years. And I'm just saying to you, if you step out, you're not going to regret what he does in this thing. The fourth option is I pledge to give X amount on the special giving days in May and October. We'll have a potluck in May when we do it for the first special giving day. That's just deciding an amount. And you could write 0 for May and bunch in October, or however you ever want to do it. It's up to you. The fifth is I pledge to give some percentage more of my income than I've been giving for 2014. So if you've been giving 10%, you might bump it to 12 or 15. I don't know. You just decide what you want to do beyond what you've been doing. And then the issue for us is, like Cody says, we have an accountant that does our stuff outside of our elders. They go through and make sure we're all legal and stuff, moral and ethical. If you choose to give to the building fund, that's where it goes. If you choose to give to missions especially, that's where it's going to go. We're asking, though, as elders, that you give a lot, that you would prayerfully decide where the Lord would have you give. If you give it to the general fund, it's easier for us to get the children's pastor. And if we actually need extra stuff done on the building, we can just shift funds from the general fund to the building, because the general fund isn't a designated thing that keeps us just in one category. You know, just that's just bookkeeping things, so for you guys to know. So would you just lift your sheet up with me here? We're going to just pray over these, start this off. Father, you know our needs more than we do. You know how you're going about meeting these needs. Lord, as an under-shepherd here at this church, my heart is that these people would see you powerfully move in and through their lives, that each one would have more than enough in abundance. And so I'm just asking, Lord, that we'd be a tithing church, 100% tithing church, and that we would see the kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, that we would pray prayers based on obedience with great expectation and faith because of what you promised in your word. And then we can keep looking to you to see all that you desire to accomplish in and through us come to pass. I want to be there on that day with this group of people, and you acknowledge us before all of humankind who made it to heaven and say, these guys gave, and they completed their mission. And Lord, we just were reaching for the highest thing, to know you, to become like you, and to take as many with us as we can. So, Lord, glorify yourself. And speak to us this week on how you would like us to do this. And the church said, amen.